Game day for the Calgary Flames, and boy, do they need a good effort. Not only are they playing the number one team in the NHL, but we're also very much at a tipping point in the season, without question, at least for me. Welcome back to the program. And for our friends at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, it is time for our daily Calgary Flames roundtable alongside Will Nault. My name is Pat Steinberg, and now the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our roundtable. And you know, we talked about this last segment, Derek. I'd be curious to hear where you are, because I very much believe if the Flames don't get this thing back on track ASAP, like we're talking in the very, very near future, I believe something absolutely is going to give. And something big is going to happen. I just can't see this team continuing to scuffle along with things the way they have been. What about you? Is this a teetering point of the season for you?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I think we need to keep it in perspective. You guys were talking earlier about how there was a lot of heat on the Canucks when they lost six in a row, but they lost six in a row. And that's when there was a lot of chatter about potentially changing the general manager or the head coach, until the owner came out and said, those things aren't going to happen. Now, sometimes a vote of confidence is a kiss of death, but you know, the Canucks have since turned their season around. Wouldn't say they're back into the playoff race, at least not yet, but you know, things are looking up in Vancouver. Right now, it's a tough time to be a member of the Flames or to be a fan of the team. I get it. They're frustrating to watch because we have seen them play at a much higher level on a way more consistent basis. But because the season is so short, I think in a way it forces you to expedite making a change if that's what your plan is. But I also think because of the situation we're in right now, it also kind of ties your hands as to what kind of changes you can make. I don't think there's going to be a change with the general manager or the head coach this season. And I know there are a lot of people out there that don't want to hear that, but it's incredibly difficult to hire people right now, you know, unless they're in Canada and you don't have to worry about quarantining them, but you know, making a change at either one of those two spots, I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. As a matter of fact, I don't believe it's the right thing to do. I don't think that's the issue. I'm not saying that the manager or the coach, they've been perfect, because I don't think that they have been, but I don't think they're the big part of the problem here. As for the players, I do think that they're probably actively looking to make a trade. And we heard that on Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts podcast a little bit earlier on. And again, it's more difficult to do that than it would be in a normal season, because unless you're trading with one of the other six Canadian teams, how long are you going to have to wait to get your player into the lineup? And I just don't think the Flames have that kind of time right now. So ideally, if they're going to make a deal, it's going to be with one of the other teams inside of Canada, but that's challenging because you're fighting with those teams for a playoff spot. So I think it's easy to say, yes, they need to make changes, but I think it's way more difficult to actually make changes because of what's going on in the world right now. So I do think that this is a make or break road trip for the team. If they can, you know, win one or two games against the Maple Leafs, I think we're going to feel a little bit differently about this group. And then they have about a quarter of their season against the Senators. That'll be the remaining schedule. So this is still a team that I think has the talent to get into the playoffs, but they've got to stop the bleeding sometime soon for sure.
The hard thing for me, because I agree with what Derek's talking about in terms of coaching changes and GM changes, yeah, those are tough things to do in a pandemic, especially on the coaching front. When, you know, do I think Jeff Ward is a fantastic top-tier NHL coach? No, I don't. But I also don't think that he is deserving of some of the really, really, really harsh criticism that's out there right now. I think he's made mistakes like everybody. And I think his long-term future is absolutely up for debate. But the other part of that too, and why I think maybe in terms of the teetering point or some of the changes we're on the verge of seeing with this team, I think it's all personnel. This mix just doesn't work. And for me, I don't want by any means, am I saying throwing the towel in the season? No, that's not what I'm saying. But this combination of players just isn't going to work. And if you are telling yourself that, you know, they've got the potential to be a playoff team, and yeah, I think they do have the potential to be a playoff team, but you've got to ask yourself this. And when you do it, you've got to do it honestly. If they're a playoff team, do you honestly believe they can beat anybody like a Toronto, a Winnipeg, a Montreal, or Edmonton in a seven-game series as constructed right now? And for me, I have a real hard time answering yes to that question. So you want to make the playoffs and lose in five games or six games? Sure. I think some of the big drastic changes are going to come in the offseason. There's no question about it. But, Pat, I'm with, you know, your original point that you kind of let off the 2 o'clock hour with is one I agree with. I just don't think you can continue going forward with what you've got. I don't know what those changes look like. It's probably more for the long-term future as opposed to the short-term. I'm not saying throwing the towel in the season, but it's very clear that this is not a year where any of us, I don't think, should be putting the Flames in a Stanley Cup contending window, nor should they be in a playoff series winning type window right now.
And guys, like, I think they're at a teetering point, and I think that they are very much teetering. Like, if you take a look at that scale, like, it is just about ready to go to the bad side, but they still have an opportunity to swing it. I do believe there's still an opportunity to change this conversation, but they have to actually respond right now. And I'm sorry, four games against Ottawa, they could win all four. I don't know if that's a response. Like, we need to see the what we're seeing on the ice and the actual engagement level, consistency, and quality of play take a meaningful change immediately and consistently for this to swing. But they still have the opportunity to swing it so that something doesn't give, that the levee doesn't burst, and maybe that they can continue trying to make this a meaningful season. But yeah, if it doesn't, Derek, I don't think it matters if you got to wait 14 days for a player. I think you got to make a change. I don't think it matters. Like, whatever you think inside that front office or whoever's making the calls, whatever you think is the right call, it kind of, the immediacy doesn't matter if the season's gone off the rails. Because if the season's gone off the rails, it's almost a lost year anyway. So they've got a chance to swing it. I think that chance started on Saturday against Edmonton, and obviously that did not go very well. But I still think that chance is there for the taking if they can respond and rise to the occasion. If they don't, and if this continues for another four or five games, then yeah, I don't think a 14-day quarantine or any of the issues that go into making a trade, I honestly don't think they matter anymore. You make the move, and you're now looking at a bigger picture. You change the approach, and you change the way. I'm not saying you blow it up and go into a full rebuild. But I think that you make a couple of changes and you almost punt on this season and start to set yourself up for a full 82 games starting in October. They're not there yet, but I think that they're close to getting there if they don't rise to the occasion.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pat. Listen, I don't think the season has gone off the rails yet. Now, if their losing streak gets to 6 or 7, yeah, it's going to be hard to close the gap between you and the teams in the four playoff spots in the North Division. But they've got a chance to turn this thing around. And I mean, tonight, what a great opportunity. And people might be saying, what are you talking about? They're playing the first overall Maple Leafs, who are 14-3-2. But they're also playing a Leafs team without Jake Muzzin, Zach Hyman, Wayne Simmonds, and Joe Thornton. So they're not as deep as they are with all of those guys in the lineup. So, you know, if you're the Flames, you've got to be ready to play tonight, don't you? Playing the top team in the league. If they're not, then that's another problem and maybe a topic for tomorrow's Daily Calgary Flames roundtable. But yeah, they're at a crucial part in the season here, boys, and they've got to get it figured out. I must admit, and we've heard rumblings for a couple of weeks now about it, but what Elliot Friedman said about that players-only meeting and what was potentially said to Matthew Tkachuk, it explains a lot, doesn't it? It really does tie a lot of things together for me because he has not looked like himself. And I think we've all wondered why. And again, we've heard rumors, but what Elliot said today, it does make so much sense for me. So I hope that Matthew's able to find his game, that the team's able to come together. Because right now, I know everybody wants to point the finger at the general manager or the head coach. But what I see is a team that really, they're not playing even close to their potential. And they're not playing for each other. You've got to get that straightened out first.
Derek Wills, Will Nault, Pat Steinberg, Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, early today, of course, with a 5 o'clock start in Toronto. Might be some confirmation bias in here, maybe not. I'm curious as to where you guys are. Have the Flames overused Jacob Markstrom heading into Game 19 of the season?
This is a difficult question to answer for me, Pat, because I want to say yes and no. Have they overplayed him? I mean, he's a goaltender who has dealt with some injuries in the past, and I certainly did not think that he was going to play this much, this soon. I mean, he's played 15 of the Flames' 18 games, started all of those games, and got relieved in the last couple. But, you know, he's a guy who I think you can give a heavy workload to, but I'm not sure you want to give that heavy a workload to. So that would be the yes part of my answer. The no part of my answer, and Peter Laborteus was pretty adamant about it during our postgame show on Saturday night, is I think the reason why the Flames have leaned so heavily on Jacob Markstrom is because the team in front of the two goaltenders just isn't playing very well right now. And with all due respect to David Rittich, who I thought was okay in his first two starts and really quite good in his third start, that 2-1 loss to the Oilers last Friday, he gave the Flames a chance to win that hockey game. Good on him. But Jacob Markstrom is the better of the two goaltenders. He is an elite, no questions asked, number one goaltender in this league. And I really believe the reason why the Flames have gone to him as often as they have in the first 18 games of the season, it isn't about David Rittich, or at least that's not the big part of the equation, because, you know, he's a guy who's hardly played in the last year. So I do think you want to try to put him into a position to succeed, but you're not doing that if you're putting him in behind a team that's not playing well in front of either goaltender right now. So I'm a yes and a no on that, Pat, simply because I think he's played probably more than they'd like him to. But I also understand why he's played more than they'd like him to. It's because the team in front of him hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, I guess the simple answer to your question, Pat, is yes. Because going into the season, would the Flames have told you that he's going to be playing 15 of the first 18? No, they wouldn't have. But this team, I think you just all you have to do is ask yourself how many wins would they have if Jacob Markstrom wasn't on their team. And to me, they'd probably have less wins than Ottawa. You can easily cut their wins in half, and you could probably subtract a couple more. This team maybe has two or three wins without their goaltending this season.
Yeah.
And that may seem extremely harsh, but for me, that's where I put it down. So I think a simple answer, Pat, is yeah, they probably have overworked them in their own mind because they didn't have this penciled in, or this wasn't the plan going in. But if you didn't overplay him, this season is probably already off the rails. So I don't think you had any choice, and I don't think you have any choice but to go back to him tonight again against Toronto.
I'm not sure, guys. Like I fully agree with everything you both just said, and yet I still wonder if at least even going one other time with Jacob Markstrom in there might have been better for. Sorry, with David Rittich in there might have been better in the big picture, because yes, Markstrom has been this team's MVP. There is no doubt about that. And where would they be without him? All of that is true. But 14 of 16, that is a massive workload in a condensed season. And I just wonder, one more game in there, what that might have been able to do in the bigger picture. And you know, some of these, the performances of late where maybe he hasn't looked quite as on it, maybe those don't happen. And I fully am aware that, you know, as the guy of the three of us who has maybe been the most adamant that they need to manage it the most, there's a little confirmation bias in there for me, and I'd be the first to admit that that's probably part of where I'm at right now. But I do wonder that, and I don't even know the right answer, guys, because I agree with everything you just said, but I also look at it and say 14 of 16, that's a lot for any goaltender. Like, Price isn't playing that. They've been able to start to dial back on Freddie Anderson's workload a little bit in Toronto. And I guess in the end, it comes down to, I don't know if they have or not. I don't know if there is a yes or no. It's too gray for me, Derek, because, you know, I know we're supposed to take hard stances, but sometimes you just can't. That one's too gray for me because they weren't playing well enough and you felt like you needed to go to your MVP. I get that. But you also probably wore him out. There's probably something involved in that too. So it's I guess it's just kind of an overall symptom of this up and down infuriating start to the season for Calgary.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing right now, guys, and I mean, without having had a chance to talk directly to Jacob, I'm not sure if this is how he's feeling, but this is what I'm seeing, and I suspect he's feeling. A little bit of fatigue and a lot of frustration. And the fatigue part of it goes back to, I think it was game two of that four-game miniseries versus the Canucks when, you know, he was good. You know, the Flames won that hockey game, but his rebound control wasn't as good as it had been. So that's when I started to wonder if he was maybe a little bit fatigued. And I do think that he probably is. The only goaltender who's had a heavier workload than Jacob Markstrom is the guy who will be at the other end of the ice tonight, Frederik Andersen. Markstrom has started 15 games. Andersen has started 16 games. So Now, he's got a little bit more run support, to steal the baseball term, than Markstrom does. So that probably makes things a little bit easier on him, both physically and mentally. But, you know, he's played a lot of hockey too, but the Leafs just score so many goals. It doesn't matter if they've got an elite goaltender or not on most nights. But the other thing, the frustration, I'm seeing a lot of that, because Jacob Markstrom, when he's at his best, he's such a big goaltender and he's so sound technically. He just kind of lets the game and the puck come to him. Haven't you guys noticed him kind of chasing it a little bit? And it's something that we saw from Mike Smith when he wasn't at the top of his game. You know, he'd kind of chase pucks and fall forward. And you know, I don't think that Markstrom's chasing it as much as Smith did at times. But, you know, I just see him trying to maybe do too much. And that's what a competitive guy is going to do. When he feels like the team isn't going, he's going to try to do a little bit more to try to get them going. And you know, sometimes I think less is more. And when it comes to Jacob Markstrom, I think, you know, just kind of getting back to playing the way he was at the start of the season and letting the puck come to him and the game come to him is probably what he needs to do. But I understand why he's probably trying to do more. He just wants to do whatever he can to help this team win.
To that point, I encourage you to go read one of Haley Salvian's latest pieces at The Athletic. She talked to some people in Vancouver about observations when Markstrom was in Vancouver and what happened. You know, some observations when he started to get a little more overworked, and they definitely paralleled what we've seen of late when it comes to Markstrom. Really good article. I would absolutely encourage you to go read it in The Athletic. Mr. Wills, you're with us in just over an hour's time. We will talk to you then. Drive safe, please. We'll see you in a bit.
All right. See you in a little bit.
That is our daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Forgot no tag today. Brought to you by our friends at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills.